Hello, 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 and welcome to the Kevin Ross Emery Show with...
I always love that. Ashley Olstein.
I got to see which way I'm turning.
I know. Which way?
Based on, you know, where your face is on my screen. I don't know where your face is on anybody else's screen, but there's the face. If you are, you know, welcome everybody. Welcome back, Ashley. Did you have a good off week?
I did. Thank you for asking. It was very nice. I was up in Vermont with all the snow.
Oh, there you go. Did you go skiing?
I am the ski Sherpa. I stay home, but a couple people in the family skied, which was really lovely. They had a great day. Good final, you know, spring hurrah. So it was good. We got, I think, about 2 feet where I am in Vermont.
You know, I always got 5-star ratings with every ski resort I did in the areas of hot tub, bar, fireplace,
yep.
Getting massages. I was top of my class. You want me to put those skinny little things on my feet? I don't think so. But everything else, I did really well at a ski resort.
I'm with you. Fair weathered skier, which means I haven't skied in like, I don't know, almost 10 years.
Yeah, I learned how to snowboard.
Ooh, man.
Back, well, it must have been almost 20 years ago. And I learned how to snowboard in Colorado, which is not a...
That's not easy. Yep.
I snowboarded for one season, and near the end of the season, the snowboard went one way, my knee went the other, and that was the end of my snowboarding career. I got one season at Wolf Creek in Colorado.
One and done.
One and done. You know, I love Pagosa Springs. Those hot springs are good. So remember, everybody, we love to have you comment in, chat, ask questions of Ashley, ask questions of our guest, which we'll get to in a little bit. Did you get a chance to watch last week's astrology?
I did. I watched the astrology portion. I admittedly haven't had a chance to enjoy the whole show, but I did watch astrology.
Avoid. Mm. We actually didn't talk a lot about politics. I know how you feel about it.
Okay, then I'll watch it.
Yeah. Trust me. I think the last 7 minutes had a few political commentaries.
That's pretty funny. Well, yep. The astrology was pretty loaded with all of the Aries stuff and Matt's wounded child. I wonder how it's affected him this week.
Well, and he was very much in the, I'm a skeptic. I don't know about it, but I'm willing to listen and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, there's just a couple of things that I want to talk about with this astrology for this upcoming week, because we're just doing the astrology by the week. And, you know, and I'm trying to get a feel of this. I'd love to hear from the listeners whether how this works for you, or would you like us to move towards, hey, once a month, have an astrologer come in and go over the whole thing. You know, we're trying this, but what we want is we want to hear from you. Like, what works for you? Does getting it piecemeal help? I know some people that put out astrology stuff on a daily basis. Ain't gonna happen here. We are an astrology show. We're not an astrology show. We do practical spiritual advice, and we use astrology as it should be used, as which is a source of information with which to make better decisions. You know, you can do what you want with it. It's like a weather forecast. You can look at the weather forecast and say, yeah, maybe I should take my umbrella today or pack my raincoat. Or you can ignore the weather forecast and
get wet.
It's your choice. I mean, you know, but I don't ever want people to give their power away to astrology. I did want to say that, you know, if you do have your chart and you look at where that eclipse hit on that new moon, at 17 degrees, can't remember how many minutes Aries. I don't know if I have it still written down somewhere. But when that does, this is a 6-month boost on steroids for illumination, enlightenment, new beginnings, seeing things and making changes. You know, from an astrological standpoint, wherever that degree crosses your chart, you just got a bunch of rocket fuel to make change in that area. In your area, you know, it's in the house of partnerships, Ashley.
Yeah, I was just referring to the notes.
Yep, it's in that house of partnership. And it will go over that into the eighth house for you. But remember, this is any kind of partnerships. So this could be, you know, anything from business partnerships to friendships to romantic relationships. You know, it can be, it's you and I. We have a partnership here.
Sure do.
So we have 6 months to put a lot of rocket fuel into this partnership to make it what it is.
Let's go.
Then, you know, we're on the side of the road out of gas.
Yep.
So this week we are not dealing with a whole lot that I'm going to go into. I only do highlights. I don't get in as deep as we used to in the Dr. Kevin show. But we do want to remember we have a few different things in Aries. The wounded hero Chiron is in Aries. Venus has entered Aries. And when she's in Aries, she becomes a saucy, assertive lady who goes after what she wants. I kind of think of Aries a little bit of Venus and Aries might be a little bit like Wonder Woman.
There's that popcorn bucket.
I have the popcorn bucket, Wonder Woman, which you all but will be seeing later, but I'm not gonna take it out yet.
I tipped your hat.
On the 11th.
That's today.
That is today. Mm-hmm. On today, we have that sun conjecting Mercury. And so remember, Mercury's retrograde. That sun is going inside and it's teaming up with that Mercury for you to get some real power in your internal dialogues where maybe there's been confusion or fog or you haven't felt like you were really clear in that area of your life. Again, this is happening for you. I don't think it's crossed the line into your eighth house at this point, but I can check that in a heartbeat. But that Mercury, wherever this is going on in your house and in your own chart, this is a place where your internal dialogue should get really clear about who you are, what you want, what's going on. And this is happening right at, yeah, this is happening right at, now that's interesting. I pulled that date off of a website that I go to, but when I look at my actual ephemeris,
I love that word.
Ephemeris.
I do.
Yeah.
Ephemeris.
I'm kind of sort of seeing that, well, I mean, it's in a conjunction energy because it's close enough. But the 11th, well, okay, yeah, no, there it is. And it's 22 degrees. So for those of you who want to use astrology as a tool, and I want to spend a lot of time here, I want to get today's guest. There's not a lot going on. There's two other things I want to talk about. But this goes into your eighth house. This is in your eighth house now. This happens right over the edge of your eighth house, Ashley. Okay. So that Mercury retrograde and that sun coming together means this is probably more about the mystical, the metaphysical, the death and rebirth. This is about the stuff that we associate with the Scorpion energy. This is a place where today is the day where you may be reevaluating how you want to do your spiritual work, how bringing up kind of like emotions and energies and thought processes about how you want to be with clients or how you want to be in the world. I don't know if that's striking any chords with you, but this is where that energy is.
Okay.
And then we have on the 15th, we have that Wounded Healer is going to be conjunct the moon in Aries. So it's an Aries moon. Aries doesn't like to be in necessarily like to be in, you know, moon and Aries aren't really strongly compatible, but there's going to be a lot of emotions coming up. And on the 15th, which is a Saturday, we're going to look like some unhealed wounds are going to get triggered. There's going to be a lot kind of coming up, a lot of feels. And what I want to say is write the feels down, track what the feels are, but I wouldn't take any action on the feels. I would just say, this is how I'm feeling. And I would wait for a few days before I decided to take action on them, because in the height of the moon and the Chiron conjunction, this could easily be that you do get the clarity of the emotions and how it's triggering your wounds, but you might not have the answers about what you really want to do about them. Does that make sense?
Yes. And you said that happens on the 15th?
The 15th.
Yeah, I think that's Monday.
Saturday the 15th.
No, Saturday is this the 13th. I beg to differ.
Oh.
Yeah, so Monday the 15th. Okay.
So it's on the 15th, and I have some kind of date error in my calendar, and I don't know what it is. Lining up the days with the actual dates, I'll have to check that out. I set this up while Mercury is retrograde, so it's not surprising that I have to go in and change it.
You probably do. That's funny.
Yeah, but what I want to make sure of is that we are looking at when this is actually happening, because I'm going to be giving incorrect information. Yep. I'm giving you incorrect information. Bad on me, because this conjunction they're talking about actually happened on the 8th and the 9th. So it's behind us.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, that explains a few things.
That explains a few things. Okay. So you get to look in hindsight. And
I'm going to
create a whole new system about tracking this stuff, because I try to keep it so we don't take quite this much time on the astrology on the thing, but boy, it takes more time. You know, my system I'm working out my kinks.
Glad I can help.
And for anybody who has any questions, I have never ever denied I have kinks. We're just not going to go into what they are.
That's a different show.
So now we're going to bring on tonight's guest, and I'm going to have you introduce her.
You bet.
We are waiting for her to make her presence known. Okay. We're going to take a second. You can start reading her introduction as our internet challenged.
Yes, a little bit of IT challenge. Well, for our guest tonight, we have Sheila Duncan, and Sheila Duncan is the troublemaker. There she is. Hi, Sheila.
Hello. Hi, Ashley. Hi, Kevin.
So Sheila is the co-creator of the popular character Trouble the Dog, and she's the author of 3 children's books. She's developed Trouble into an actual, you can see that Kevin's got him right there, an actual soft, huggable, American-made plush toy that has been provided. It's provided comfort to thousands of people around the world. So children in hospitals, residents in nursing homes, veterans, homeless children, foster care. He's there to provide a hug. So, and Trouble is a comfort toy that has been, I just got tongue-tied.
Absolutely fine.
Yes, he's been delivered to thousands of children with the books, so the plush toy and the books, to chemotherapy patients at the Shriners Hospital for Children, Boston's Children's Hospital, Mass General Pediatric Oncology, Hasbro's Children's Hospital, and more. And Sheila has been featured on MSNBC and all kinds of other shows. And she's been featured in Success Magazine's Ladies Home Journal and others. So welcome, Sheila.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And it's good to, nice to meet you, Ashley.
You too.
Good to see you, Kevin. It's been a while.
My love, Sheila, my love.
Yes.
Out there changing the world, one trouble at a time.
I'm doing my best.
So I want to go into, because, you know, we figured out you've been doing some version of my shows, radio, podcasts, TV shows since 2008.
Yep.
Is wow. When people first hit the market.
That's great.
But today, before we went on air, we had the most fascinating conversation. And I want to start there with you on that. And then I want to go into kind of a little bit of how trouble came about. Because, you know, some of my audience, I know there are people in the audience that know who you are. But I know that we're always getting new listeners, new viewers and stuff like that. And so I want them to have the full Sheila experience.
Oh,
me too. I haven't had the personal experience, so I'm excited.
But you were talking about before we started, when we were chatting, that there was somebody you were talking to and they reminded you that their trouble was a female.
Correct.
And so it really struck me that right now, with the onslaught of hate, bigotry, and violence that is going on with the trans community and the LGBTQ community, which is why my trouble has a little rainbow flag.
Love it.
And is in a little Wonder Woman popcorn basket, is trouble, you know, and we started talking and I said, trouble's a they, them. Because if the child or adult who gets trouble needs trouble to be female, trouble's female.
Right.
Needs trouble to be male, trouble's male. If needs trouble to be a they, them, non-binary, they're a they, them, non-binary.
He also is whatever ethnicity you choose.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah. And so, it's what the kids choose. He's whatever the kids want him to be.
That's yep. So great.
Thank you.
And I think that we weren't having discussions like this in 2008 and 2009, but in 2024, if you have a child or a teenager or even a young adult that feels like they're being bullied and feels like that any of these issues, any of the trans or LGBTQ, any issue really. But sometimes I think that knowing that trouble loves them just the way they are is even more powerful today in some ways than it was in 2008.
You know, it's really funny you say this. There's a child, and we can talk about it in a little bit, who was adopted from foster care. And he was given a trouble dog by his therapist at the time as a coping mechanism. And he has since raised money to deliver hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of trouble dogs to kids who are still in foster care, and because he knows what it's like. And what he says is, which brings tears to my eyes every time I meet this kid, his name is Darius Noonan. And he said, I want other kids to know somebody loves them and that somebody has trouble the dog. So
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Thank you.
And so important.
Oh, yeah. And so telling of the fact that there's, and Kevin knows, there's a magic to trouble. And since the very beginning, kids have been able to feel it, you know? Oh,
can you say more to that? I know that you said that this was kind of divine intervention, the creation of trouble. And I don't know the backstory. So
okay.
I'd like to hear a little bit more about that.
So what happened was back in 2006, my niece Kendra, who is very spiritual, very caring, empathetic, you know, very tuned in, she was 12, and she had lost her dad, her nonny, and our family dog, who was her best friend, Irish, a golden retriever, all to cancer. Boom, 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 right in a row. Which is a lot for a 12-year-old, you know, a lot for anybody. So she was at my house one night, and she loves to draw. So she was just doodling. And as a matter of fact, I've got to show you pictures of her art now, Kevin. She's into moons, and she's really great. Anyway, she's doodling, and I'm watching television, and the St. Jude telethon came on. And I wanted to shut it off, of course, you know. Mm-hmm. She said, oh, she looked up, and she was so tuned into the word cancer. She looked up, and she said, oh, I have to help those kids. And she just went, boom, and she drew Trouble the Dog. And she went on my computer, which is where I'm sitting right now, and she went on to Pet Finder, and she came back into the living room, and she said, his name's going to be Trouble, and he's going to help kids. And it was like one of those divinely inspired moments you hear about, like on Oprah. You know, it was just like, boom, and that's exactly what's happening. And so because of her pure heart wanting to help other kids, it's been a theme with Trouble since the beginning, since the very beginning. You know, kids will say, oh, I hug Trouble and he wags his tail. Oh, or they'll say, like Darius will say to me, you know, when I talk to Trouble, he answers me. So that's why we call him an angel in disguise, because as Kevin knows, that's what's happening. You know, so, yep. He's, it's like giving kids their very own angel.
It really is.
System is, that's what's going on.
It really is. And I also understand you're working on an actual cartoon at this point.
Well, we have it just a little cartoon that's on our website that a gentleman from Poland did for me years back. But it kind of explains Trouble a little bit.
Okay. And,
in a perfect world, I would love for Trouble to be a cartoon series that could be beamed into, you know, shelters and foster homes and hospitals and families. And, you know, because Trouble lets kids express their emotions.
Yeah.
You know, like Trouble is utilized. We have a foundation that's a whole nother show that delivers Trouble to kids in crisis. And Trouble is utilized for kids. Let's say they have to testify in court. Okay. They will give Trouble to a child. They hug Trouble. They feel stronger and they can talk. So it's, my hope is that, you know, I either win Powerball and do it myself, or someone's going to watch this show and say, you know what? I want to do something for the kids of the world. So it's much bigger than me.
It certainly sounds that way.
Thank you. I don't have children, and I didn't know anything about having a plush animal made, writing a children's book. Are you kidding? You know, we used to own a bar and a restaurant, and I knew nothing about any of this. So it's just like there's a big foot in my back pushing me forward. So, and Kevin's been a huge supporter since the beginning because he gets it.
You have some great phrases that I always put you on the spot that are trouble phrases that I think are so fantastic. And Ashley wouldn't know to ask about them, so I'm gonna jump in and say, can you share Trouble phrases?
Well, the first phrase, my mother, who was in all of our children's books, if my niece Kendra, let's say she would fall down and scrape her knee. My mother was this tough little Irish woman, spunky Irish woman. She'd say, okay, come on, honey, now stand up. You gotta be tough. So when we first had when we first started to realize that there was a magic about Trouble, I had some medallions made up with Trouble's image on the front. And then on the back, it says, Trouble says, be tough. you know, just like my mother used to say. Yeah. And that was part of the beginning of the magic, because kids would say, you know, when I rub my medallion, it makes me feel better. And I would think, really? You know, because we didn't have a plush animal at that point.
Right.
So that's one. Another one that a friend of mine, actually, Susan Donahue, came up with is where there's trouble, there's hope. Oh, excuse me. I think I was where there's trouble, there's hope. And we introduced a character, a puppy named Hope, by the way.
Yep.
In our second book. And the third slogan, which Susan came up with, is when trouble comes, you're never alone. And that's the truth, because you think about a child who is going through cancer treatments, as an example. You know, there are people around them all day, but when the lights go out, trouble's there.
Yeah.
So it's like I said, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it is much bigger than me. And yeah.
Well, you shepherded a 12-year-old girl's pencil drawing.
Yes.
Into this plushie toy, which you have done, I don't even know how many, tens of thousands. It has to be at this point.
Thousands and thousands.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
And the books.
Yeah.
You just keep going. I mean, it's like, you know, the energy of trouble is a little bit like your energy, like the energy of the, you know, Ever Ready Bunny.
Right. But the Ever Ready Bunny's getting older.
In fact, I gave you a booth at one of my expos, I think, at some point to come and do stuff.
You did. Yes. You did.
Yeah. I was just like, I got a space. Just take it. I don't want any money. I just want you to be there. I just want you to push it out.
You know what was interesting? There were three, because I'm Irish, and there were three women from Ireland who were all mediums, I believe.
Yep.
Okay. And I forget their names, but they came up to the booth and they were like, ooh, what's happening? What's this? What's happening with these? You know? So yep. they each bought a trouble and took trouble back to Ireland with them.
Oh, I love it.
So, yep. And Kevin knows, I'll tell you a story about the energy. Years ago, this was even before I had trouble made in America. I was at Brigham and Women's Hospital with a whole table full of trouble dogs. And kids were dragging their parents over to see the dogs. You know, it was amazing. And a good friend of mine, who's now retired, was a really old world psychic. Linda Dearborn is her name. She's terrific. And she came to see me. And I didn't have time to talk to her because I was so busy. So I felt badly, but I thought she left. And what she did was, I'm at the table and there was a balcony up here. And she went and stood on the balcony for like an hour. And she came back down and she said, you call me when you get home. I said, oh, I didn't even know you were still here. So anyway, I called her when I got home and she said, do you want to know what's going on with Trouble the Dog? Do you want to know why kids are dragging their parents like a magnet to trouble? I said, yeah. What are you going to tell me? She said, Trouble has a soul and I can see it. She said, that's not just a stuffed animal you have there on the table. That's what's going on. So how can I not keep going? You know?
So one of the... I'm going to ask you to retell one of my favorite stories I like to hear. And then I'm going to back to Ashley to, you know, see what, you know, about like what's next for Trouble or what's going on with the books or what do you need? Or even we may need to make sure people know, because you have a whole situation where people can go to the website and buy a Trouble to send to a kid.
Yes.
That's going through trouble. And, you know, this is not giving your money to some price gouging big corporation that could give two shits about you.
No.
this, you know, just the energy of the caretaking and the love of what you're sharing, I feel like it shows up in every dog that goes out.
Thank you.
You know, and it's there and it makes a difference. So, but the story I want you to tell me, I'd like you to share. I want Ashley to hear it and our listeners. But I also want to make sure that, you know, we do this thing where your website will show up on the bottom, and people make sure that you grab that, go there. These are great gifts. These are great, you know, whether it's birthdays, Christmases, or you know that there is a hurting child or adult in need.
Yeah.
Here is the adult story I want. I want you to tell the story about bringing trouble down to the people, to the service people that had come home from the war. You know, they're
Yes, that was a life-changing day. Thanks to my friend Susan Donahue. She lives in Baltimore. And I found out about a soldier who was severely injured overseas. I mean, really, really bad. And she was a woman she was friendly with, was related to him anyways. So we made arrangements to bring bags and bags, huge bags full of trouble dogs down to Walter Reed Army Hospital, which at the time was full of these poor soldiers. Mm. And as we were starting in the door, you know, somebody said, froze. And all of a sudden said, I don't know how these dogs are going to be received. I said, don't believe me. Don't worry about a thing. And we went in, we were allowed to go into each soldier's individual room, give them a trouble dog. And they were so touched. It, as I say, it was a life-changing day for me, not only for their own comfort, but also because trouble would give them an opportunity to talk to their kids, you know, about what happened, how life was going to be, read the story. And it was amazing, really amazing. So a lot of adults have trouble the dog, a lot of seniors.
I love that.
Thank you. A woman purchased trouble the other day. I was a little mixed up because I thought she was purchasing trouble to give to a child who's in foster care. And she was a little mixed up because she really wanted it for herself. So I said, you know what? I'm going to take care of the shipping. Don't worry about it. I want you to have it. Well, trouble's her best friend. I mean, trouble's going to the grocery store. He's going to bingo. He's sleeping with her at night. And so it's really remarkable, even to me, about what's happening. So
one of the things about the soldier story that I remember was that you had, the first time you told me the story, there was one of them that had like lost an arm or a leg or whatever, and they just broke out into tears when you gave them.
Yes. Yes.
It like gave them permission to release.
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So, I've always, that story has always stayed with me because, you know, we send these young men over to seas and they come back in these broken ways and stuff like this. And a lot of them are just oversized kids. You know, they were 18 and they go and they come back and we're not always very good to them either.
Right.
But that's a different story and a different show.
Right.
But the fact that these big macho soldiers could release all these emotions.
Yes.
Talks about the scared little boy inside.
Yes, exactly.
People don't identify.
Yeah. And you think about how young they are, and you reminded me that one of the soldiers said, and this is on a brighter note, he said that he brought trouble to physical therapy with him. Because, you know, they do wonderful work down there at Walter Reed. I said, you did? He said, yeah, it's a great way to you know, meet the really meet the nurses. Really connect with the nurses. So we asked one of the nurses out. I said, I don't want to know about that.
That's so funny. I can't help but think, as you were talking about, you know, how trouble has a soul and all of that, that it's, you know, when the kids are feeling, kids, adults, anybody feels like they're alone.
Yes.
And, you know, from my perspective, we're really never alone because we're surrounded by, you know, spirit guides and loved ones and all of that around us. And trouble is kind of a tangible representation of that. That's kind of a reminder that we are never alone. It's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know what's interesting too? This boy that I told you about, Darius Noonan. So every Christmas, I go with him to a foster care Christmas party for kids who are still in foster care. And we have a table with trouble dogs on it. So when a child will come up to the table, Darius will say, "Do you have a trouble dog?" And if they say no, this is what he does. The child is here. He looks here, and he's looking at all the dogs, right? And then he'll pick a dog up, and he says to me, "This trouble wants to go with this child." So.
Now, how old is Darius?
He just turned 12. Okay. He's an old soul, and he's got such a big heart. You know, and I said to him something like, I said, "You know, I think maybe trouble's talking to that child." And he looked at me, he said, "We know that. We already know that."
Been established. I love it.
Yes. Yeah. He's an amazing, really intelligent, wonderful kid. Yeah.
Next time you're at the house, Ashley, I'll introduce you. He lives in my kitchen. He looks at me, he's there.
You know, very sweet. Do you mean Darius or trouble?
Well, trouble. No, trouble. I don't have a 12
year old. Not Darius.
I'm Darius. I'm like, wait, he's in
trouble
in the kitchen.
And Darius, he came to his mother. You know, I was at a doing a show at Shriners Auditorium. And his mother came up and told me that Darius gets such comfort from trouble that he wanted to do something to help other kids still in foster care. And, you know, I mean, he at the time was, I don't know, 8, you know, and thinking of other kids. And so far he's raised money to purchase, because we set up a link right on our website that's Kids Helping Kids. So people can order a trouble dog to be sent to a child in foster care, you know, to add to Darius's troubles. And I want to say, I think he's at like 488 dogs.
Oh, that's so amazing. I was wondering if you had
I could be off a little bit, but something like that. Yeah. Yep. Just incredible. There should be more people like Darius and his parents in this world, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. What a heart.
Yeah. Yes, beautiful heart.
And what is coming up with trouble in the near future? Do you have a new book started?
I have an idea for a new book. You know, it's a process. Kendra and I talked about it a little bit. And actually, our last book is relatively new. And she said, when we were talking about it, I said, "What do you think this book should be about?" Because we, you know, we created characters and all this kind of stuff. She said, "I think for this book, trouble should get into trouble." I said, "Oh, I don't know about that." And that's what we did. And the kids love it. And we created a little character named Clarence, who's an orb, you know, who just will land on trouble's nose and talk to him in a really deep voice to try to, you know, keep him out of trouble. And in this particular book, he does not succeed. So, so there will be another book in the offing, you know, that we would need to get illustrated and all of that.
Yeah.
I
said, I'm sure it's a huge undertaking.
It is. Yeah. But it's fun too, you know.
Yeah.
My big goal is to really, get him into some sort of an animated form. So he can, if you picture a child that's gone through something really difficult, I would want the character of Trouble to beam in and to be able to talk right to that child.
I have two daughters, and when they were young and we would go to the emergency room or whatever, there was always this, caretaker type of person there that would bring things to entertain the kids. Right. And the whole time you've been talking, I keep picturing Trouble coming in to soothe these kids, aside from the ones that are in a long-term situation that need help, but just the short term when the kids are scared.
Exactly.
And having a video on a little iPad that they could hold on to would just be incredible.
Exactly. And we delivered Trouble not too long ago to some teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And Trouble's universal, I guess, is the best way to put it. And that's why the whole divinely inspired thing comes in, because, for example, when I said to Kendra initially, what color will Trouble be? White? She said, no, gray. I thought, gray? But it's just a neutral color. He's not pink, he's not blue, he's not green, he's just gray, And you don't see too many, yes, it's right there. And you don't see children's characters who, he's very distinctive,
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm grateful. We've had all kinds of people help us along the way, and Kevin's one of them. And I'm grateful for the journey, but I feel that it's time for Trouble to really, I think he's ready to really fly. There's just so many kids that, they're having mental health issues, and they're just, kids are really, after the pandemic and everything, they're really struggling. So I think that they need a little hero, unlikely as he is. So.
Well, there's Trouble the Dog and Hope. That's a Facebook fan page.
Yeah.
And so if you're there and you're like, well, I don't have anyone to send a Trouble to, or I don't necessarily want a Trouble personally. Big mistake, but that's your mistake to make.
I know, I'm planning my own.
At least you can go to the Facebook Trouble the Dog and Hope Facebook page and like it.
Right.
Put it out there. And then at some point you may share it, So there was, it was a powerful event, but it had, I knew there would be triggers in some of the conversations that I attended last week at the church. And I got some funny looks and I got some smiles. But I also got some but at the end, as I'm sitting there holding my stuffed animal.
Oh, you took him with you. Oh.
As I was listening to this, I had people coming up and they go, I was jealous, or I wanted to just, I think we should have at the end of all the pews and, stuff like this. And all of these adults were like, they at first were like, you're an adult member of this community. What are you doing holding a stuffed animal at a workshop or an event in the thing? And at the end of it, they were all like, oh.
Yeah.
Can I pet the dog?
You know what I wanted to mention too, that has been a big part of this journey, is initially I had a wonderful gentleman who hooked me up with his manufacturer in China. And they were great for the first round. And then the second round, it became more complicated because my connection left to have a baby. So I thought, well, why wouldn't I just have Trouble made in America? What's so hard about that? Well, 6 months later, I finally found someone who would talk to me. And that sets Trouble apart too, because I don't think there are any very, very rare plush dogs like this that are totally made in America. You know, the only thing that's not American is his silver fur. That comes from overseas. Mm. Everything else, the stitching, the cutting, the stuffing, all the other material is from right here in Arizona. So that's a distinction that there's a lot of love put into those dog faces, you know, so they're not cookie cutter either. Each one might be a little tiny bit different. So
are you in Arizona now?
No, I'm in Marblehead, but the manufacturer, yeah, she's in Arizona.
Okay, I was going to say, when did you leave town? I don't remember.
I'm right here freezing to death with you.
I can tell you're going to stay. You'll be a Massachusetts lady forever.
I think so. Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably right in this office right here, I think. Yeah. So
you have three books out, mm-hmm. and one's new. I love the concept of Trouble Gets Into Trouble.
Me too.
Thank you.
I think that.
That wasn't me. That was Kendra.
Yep. You know, one of the things when I work with kids, and I'm kind of teaching them how to make their choices, I'm always, you know, and I've done this with 4, 5, 6-year-olds, because, you know, I do the work with the ADD and the ADHD, and I'll teach them how to touch into their own intuitive and know if something's going to be good for them or bad for them. And they get it. They get it like this.
Yeah.
And then they'll get that something is not going to be bad, that is going to make them feel bad or make them more hyper or more likely to get in trouble. And I always say to them, okay, now you still can make the choice. The choice is yours. You can say, whatever that is, I want it so badly that even if I know I'm probably going to lose screen time or be put in a timeout or sent to my room, because when I eat this, you know, it's going to make me go all kind of crazy in a way that gets me in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can still make that choice because it's your choice to make.
Right.
But you can't complain because you knew where the choice was going to lead. And I feel like somehow that book that you've come up with, or that in some way, shape, or form, and I haven't looked at it, kind of puts that same message out there.
Like, well, it does. And it, show you, it also with this, can you see with this little orb here? Yes, he tells you, you know, you're going to get into trouble, but trouble still does it. But then at the end of the book, can you see? Clarence allows kids to point to, okay, this is what happened. Now, how do you feel? Are you happy? Are you angry? Are you sad? You know, allows the kids to, trouble, I think, is all about allowing kids to open up and express themselves, which is really important today because so many kids aren't.
Yep.
So out there again, you know, this will stay on our Facebook pages. We've got 2 pages that are now doing the show. It's going to stay on our LinkedIn. It's going to stay on YouTube. You can always grab it if you want to put it on your website, a link for the interview.
I will.
We're going to be wrapping it up with Sheila. Now is your last chance. If you have a comment or a question for Sheila, now is the time that you can bring that comment or question in. Again, you can go to troubledthedog.com and find the books, find the plushies, find the links to give them to kids in need. And you can go to Trouble the Dog and Hope Facebook page. If you don't do anything else but like it, it still supports the mission of getting trouble out there to help kids get through, kids and adults get through tough times.
Yeah.
And you know, too, I talk about a perfect world. Think about a character. And I think this maybe is a model that hasn't been done. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But think about a character that could generate revenue for for kids in need. In other words, think about Mickey Mouse doing good things, you know? So.
Do you have any last questions before we let Sheila go back to her day?
I just want to say that I really, really enjoyed spending this time with you and learning about Trouble, and I am excited to actually order my own. And
I'm thinking about
my adult daughters as well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say, keep doing the most beautiful work. It's just great. So
thank you. It was a pleasure to meet you, Ashley. I'm sure we'll meet again.
I sure hope so, Sheila.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Miss Sheila, you know, I'm one of those. I got this from Papa, my father, who back when the lotteries first started, he was always like, I play, because you can't win if you don't play.
That's correct.
If you give up, you know, and life is about dreaming. And once you stop dreaming, you stop living.
Correct.
I do this automatic, the lottery. I get a ticket every time. It just, right now, it's all automatic. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to think about it. Stuff like this. But, you know, when I do my little, oh, you know, what happens if I won this $31 million, blah, 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 what would I do with it? I just want you to know your name is always on my list of a check I would write.
Thank you very much. That makes my night.
So,
thank you.
I will always do anything I can to help you and Trouble the Dog get out there. You truly do fabulous work in the world.
Thank you very much. That makes my day.
So,
thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to now let you go ahead and return to your day. So, if you just want to, I think, click the little leave studio button should be at the bottom of your thing.
I gotcha.
There you go.
Oh, she's lovely.
I adore Sheila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adoration worthy. I mean, she's really just an angel on earth.
Well, and you know, one of the things is I know that at the beginning, I mean, like, she doesn't get paid for her work.
Yeah.
She volunteers. She has put her own money in at times to keep it going. She's, you know, she's out there hustling, looking for anything. I mean, if you go to Trouble the Dog place, there are places where you can, you know, you could be a corporate sponsor, where you can, you know, do different things. And I'm always hoping every time I have her on that somebody will go and say, hey, we have this thing and we're going to order 100 of them to give away or whatever, because, you know, for a big company or a big organization, they could buy 100, they could buy 1,000.
Yeah. And,
you know, if they're dealing with kids and stuff like this. So
I'm thinking Shark Tank, honestly.
Yeah, but Shark Tank is going to want it to make a profit and is going to want to take it.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yep.
That's not going to work. But
no sharks for me. I don't like sharks.
Trouble against all sharks. No sharks. Yeah, but really great. And there's something super, trying to find the right word because it's going to sound hokey, but a little magical about Sheila, because when we first started talking about it, I'm like, oh, that's such a cute concept. I love it. But as she was going, I'm under Trouble spell. I get it.
Yep. It's funny because in all of the different iterations that I've had her on and TV shows and expos and earlier versions of my radio show that I've had co-host on, nobody that I have ever interviewed Sheila with or been involved around Sheila hasn't ended up getting into trouble.
There you go. That's too funny.
So this is the time that we are setting aside at the end. We've got about 6 minutes. Sheila's interview went a little longer than we planned, but I don't care. It's our show. We'll do what we damn well please. But this is the time when, if you want some insight, if you want some, you know, even some psychic hits, or you want to throw out a spiritual question, this is the time that Ashley and I make available to hear what you want us to talk about or what you want to bring to the table. We're going to just keep talking until something shows up. And if nothing shows up, well, maybe something will show up next week. This is a new format. People are getting used to it. But I just want to remind people out there that Ashley and I try to make time available definitely at the end. Sometimes, depending on how inept I am at the astrology, we might make a little time at the beginning or bring the guest in a little early and then have a little more time at the end. But we're opening this time up for you. And so I'm gonna ask Ashley to think about what, you know, like what piece of spiritual advice would she like to throw out into the universe? I'm gonna let her think about it for a second, and I'm gonna throw one out because it came up earlier today as I was talking to somebody. If you don't have a God that makes you feel good about who you are, that does not conspire to help you be your best, does not inspire you to be your best. If you have a God that focuses on all the things you do wrong and how little value you have in the world, and there are a ton of them out there, it's time to fire your God. People have said to me for years, because I'm a spiritual catalyst, that they go, you know, they hear about me, they get referred to me. I just started working with a new client today through a referral. And there's always this like, well, spiritual catalyst, you know, are you going to try to give me God? And I always tell them, no, it's not my job to give you God. Part of my job is to help you have a better relationship with the God you have. And if that one isn't working for you, we fire him and find a new one, because there are plenty out there and they all want converts. Trust me. So we have to find that alignment that knows, that says, hey, I was born at the beginning of evolving perfection. And in my relationship with you, I will evolve, be evolving perfection. But as I am evolving perfection, nobody else gets to tell me I'm wrong, I'm not good enough, that I don't genuflect the right way, I don't drop the right knee, I don't meet your limited God's idea of who I should be. Because that's not God, that's your limited perception of God. What would you like to share?
Little different topic, but it's been pertinent. And I've had a handful of friends the past couple of weeks that are just going through some, you know, a little bit of a slog, a little bit of a tough time. And what I keep hearing from, you know, my peanut gallery, like my spirit team and everything, is just a reminder for everybody to breathe, to get quiet, take a deep breath, get quiet, and allow, to trust in what the universe is having you flow through. Know that if you hold on to something really tightly, there's a struggle. And if you can just let go, breathe, and get quiet through things, life will ease up a bit. And I'm as guilty as anybody of holding on tight to things and trying to force them. Kevin knows me very well. But it's a reminder to myself and to everyone out there who needs a little nudge, just to try to breathe into it, put your shoulders down, and know that as you move through things, things are always changing and something better will be on the other side. It may not feel better right away, but just trust in the process. So that's my soapbox.
So next week we have Ash Shukla. I don't know. Yes. Shukla. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right. He has created a system that crosses over the chakra system and having financial wealth in your life. So that's Ash Shukla. That's next week.
Perfect.
I'm going to leave our closing spiritual comment to trouble. Always remember, wherever there is trouble, there is hope.
Beautiful. And there we go.
Okay.
I don't know. I think we're still here.
We are. So we're going to sign off. We're going to hit our little leave studio button and close it out.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.